We'll dedicate our learning today to the Refuah Shlema of Ne'or Shalev Ben Rut, injured in one of the incidents. I want to go backwards because I wasn't organized to me yesterday, so I spent some time organizing how exactly we made this leap from Maga and Masa to distinguishing between Ohel and Maga and Masa. So I want to make it clear again. The Mishnah started with a distinction between Etzem Kiseora and all the other cases, right? So Etzem Kiseora is the only one that's only Mitame Maga and Masa, and everything else is Mitame Ohel. Then I'm going to go out of order now because the way things developed, I realized it happened kind of in an out of order way. So then on yesterday's daf, we had this comparison on Nun Gimel Amud Bet at the top. Chatzi Kavatzamot, they took this Chatzi Kavatzamot and they said, clearly from here, what do you see? I don't want to start from there. I want to start from we could start from there. So they say Chatzi Kavatzamot in, but Rovatzamot lo. And then they say Hechidami. And they say, Ilema de Ipohon Atzamot Kiseora, if it means that there's Atzamot Kiseora, so typically Mishum Atzam Kiseora. But it means that they ground them up. And then, on this issue, they start to, Tosfot asks, something doesn't make sense here. Why are you comparing Etzem Kiseora to Rovan Chatzi Kavatzamot? Because Chatzi Kavatzamot apply even Ba'ohel. And Etzem Kiseora doesn't apply Ba'ohel. So why would you say that you can learn it from Etzem Kiseora? And as you wouldn't. You wouldn't say, how could you learn it from there if there didn't tell you the full story, right? With Etzem Kiseora, it's only Maga Masa, right? So
it's sort of like you can't learn Rav Homer Mikal as opposed to Kal V'Homer.
Right, or you just can't, right? You wouldn't be able to learn everything from it. In other words, the whole point of saying we could learn it from Etzem Kiseora doesn't make any sense because Etzem Kiseora doesn't give us the full picture. It only gives us Maga Masa, and it doesn't give us Ohel. So you would say, well, maybe you need the Chatzi Kavatzamot to teach you by Ohel. In other words, right, as opposed to Etzem Kiseora. So the fact that the Gemara compares them is if they're equal, there's an assumption that right now, that and this assumption, okay, Tosfot says, based on the next Mishnah, and the way that we saw the explanation of the Gemara in the next Mishnah, which we'll get to in a minute, is that there's a distinction, even though our Mishnah sets a very clear chatzikav atzamot, right? Chatzikav atzamot is mitame for the bimaga, masa, and ohel, for the nazir, and he's megaleach. And the rovakav atzamot, we saw in the next Mishnah, is not, the nazir is not megaleach. But now what they're going to say is, if they're comparing and they're learning about this rova atzamot, what are they going to say? That the Rova Atzamot is going to split into two. And there's Maga and Masa, and there's Ohel. So in the next Mishnah, when it says the Rova Kav Atzamot is not Mitame, that's the Ohel. But now we're going to add to our Mishnah, even though it doesn't say it, besides Chatzi Kav Atzamot, it's Mitame, Maga, Masa, and Ohel, we have Rova Kav Atzamot, that's Mitame, B'Maga, U'Masa. Now, where do we see this in our Gemara? In other words, it doesn't say so in the next Mishnah, because the next Mishnah just says very simply, the Rova Kavatzamot, the Nazir is not Megaleach. But when we brought up this Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, right, if you remember, so what's this Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? And then I'll get there in a minute, just to refresh. So, Al Ever Menachai, Al Ever Menameh. So now we're on the fourth line of Nun Gimel Amud Bet, where I just left off a minute ago. Al Ever Menameh, Al Ever Menachai, Sheyesh Alehem Basar Karaoi. So first the assumption is, Ein alehem basar kara'oi mai. What's the case if there isn't basar kara'oi? So now, first of all, it seemed like a strange question, because it seems obvious, right, that if it says in the Mishnah, Ein alehem, yesh alehem basar kara'oi, if Ein alehem, right, so immediately Tosfot jumps in here and he says, obviously what they're talking about is just like we said before, they want to know if Ein alehem basar is, yes, clearly, if Ein Alehem Basar, so again, like the next Mishnah, even though it doesn't appear in the next Mishnah, we can assume that the din of the next Mishnah applies, Ein Alehem Basar, they're not Mitame and Nazir, but Ohel. But what about if a Nazir was Nogei Abahem? In other words, and the whole question now is about Maga and Masa. Okay, so that's another jump. You understand? This all doesn't appear in the text, but Tosfot says the whole sugya doesn't make sense if we don't say such a thing. Because what kind of question is that? Obviously, if en alehem basar karot, well, it's not going to be metame. So it must be that they're distinguishing between olam agam masa. And now we're going to see the best proof of it in a minute. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan says, ein hanazir megaleach alehem. And Rish Lakish amar, hanazir megaleach alehem. Right? There's a machloket. Now again, we're going to assume that the machloket is, again, according to Tosfot's reading, the machloket is b'mago masa. Okay? So if you have this Eber min achai or Eber min amet that doesn't have basar and you touch it, then the nazir has to become has to be megaleach, as opposed to if he's in an ohel with it. That's according to, right, so Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't need to, even maga masa, and Rish Lakish says he does. So now Rabbi Yochanan amar, ein azir megaleach alehem, deha katani bereisha al ever min amet, al ever min achai v'chule, right, sheyesh alehem, meaning sheyesh alehem basar in, aval ein alehem lo. Rabbi Shem ben Lakish omer megaleach midlo katani b'sefer. Remember, he says, because it doesn't appear in the next Mishnah, it must be that you are megaleach. And that's where he's mechadesh, that you be metame b'maga umasan in ever menachai or ever menameth that doesn't have basar. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's obvious. It's obvious that it wouldn't be metame maga masar or oval, any of them, because of the reish. So then they ask Rabbi Yochanan, this is where it comes in the proof. Rabbi Yochanan amar lecha, right? Rabbi Yochanan says, anywhere, if it's obvious, it doesn't have to say so in the Seifa. So then they ask him, what do you mean? So if you say that anything that's obvious, right, you don't need to say, well then why does it say Rovakav in the second Mishnah? So now they say, because there's a chiddush. In other words, this is where the issue comes in. Because the Mishnah doesn't make sense, according to Rabbi Yochanan's reading, how could you have Rov HaKavat Samot in the next Mishnah? He says here, and this is his new reading of the Mishnah, that now tells what it says, all of the other sukkahs are based on this, which is, Ilav Rov HaTzamot, if it didn't say that, Hav Amina Afila Amaga'ov HaMasa'o Lo. L'hachi Itzrich Lemine Rov HaTzamot Tal Ahilan Hu De'ena Nezio Megalech. Okay, now this totally is against the pshat of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah just said rova kav dam, rova kav atzama. And what he's saying is there must be a chiddush, otherwise it wouldn't need to be there. And what's the chiddush? That yes, rova atzama is on this list, but only when it comes to ohel, and not when it comes to maga and masa. And based on that reading of the next Mishnah, that's what influences everybody in these sugyas to assume that we're talking about that even though the Mishnah didn't separate maga and masa, except for the case of etzem kesorah, the fact that they keep comparing these issues to etzem kesorah and saying, well, why don't we learn from etzem kesorah? They must be entering the world of just maga and masa and not ohel. And they're leaving all aside in these questions. Okay? So that's how it works in. Okay, now we're going to skip down to where we left off, because the other one is just the proof about the Revi. We don't need to read that one. That was the second question of Rabbi Yochanan. So why does it say Revi Dam? And that was to be Yotze, to stress that we're not holding like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now we'll start from 10 lines from the bottom. Okay, we'll repeat the question we left off with yesterday. So, hi, Eber min achai. So now we're going to add the words, right? Again, they're comparing Eber min achai at this point to Etzem Kesorah. So again, Eber min achai or Eber min amei, that is, that's mitame b'maga umasa, hechidame, okay? This case that we're talking about, or that we don't know if it's mitame maga umasa, right? That's the whole question. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, the issue, they're having a question with what's the case? Idi ipe etzem kisora, if it's the size of a barley, so mitame de Rabbi Yochanan. So why would Rabbi Yochanan say it's not mitame maga umasa? Etzem kisora, we all know it's mitame maga umasa for an esir. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense. Ve'ida lepe etzem kisora, and if it doesn't even have a bone the size of a seora, my tamad Rish Lakish, it doesn't have meat on it, it doesn't have a size of a bone, and as the assumption is that the limb is basically a bone and some flesh. So if it doesn't have flesh, and it's not the bone the size of a seora, why on earth would Rish Lakish be mitami? So first we're going to answer according to Rish Lakish. Amar lecha Rish Lakish, la'olam de lepe etzem kisora. It's talking about a case where there isn't etzem kisora, and even so, the Torah was machmir on this. Okay, why is that? We're going to see. D'tanya. Now we're going to quote a long braita, two braitot, only of which the second one is relevant. Okay, so you know this is just, I don't know, some people say they did it just because taharot isn't, right, like all this stuff isn't, and ohalot, it's not in in Shas, so you may, you know, it's not in the Gemara, there's no Gemara. So once we're talking about it, let's bring up more stuff so that we learn about it. I don't know if that's exactly the reason, but it could be. Now we're going to quote a pasuk. Okay, the pasuk is this: V'chol asher yigal p'nei sadeh. Okay, so in dine tuma. Okay, in dine maga actually. V'chol asher yigal p'nei sadeh b'chal acherev o b'meit o b'etzem adam o b'kever yitma shivat yamim. Okay, the tuma of shivat yamim. Okay, anyone who touches in the field a body, a sword, or the dead person, or the bone of a person, or the grave. Okay, as you can see, seems very repetitive and unnecessary, all these terms. It should be pretty obvious, you know, if you touch a dead body, okay, then it should basically, you know, cover most of it. Maybe you add a little bit more, but you certainly don't need everything. So they're going to darshan each of the sections of this pasuk. Al-pnei sadeh, ze hama'ahil al-pnei hamet. Okay, that means if there's someone, there's a dead body buried, and you go on top of that, right? You stand over it. So you, in essence, create a tent over it, and you become tameh, because the tuma goes up. Bechalal, ze ever menachai. Okay, the word halal is coming to teach you, even in ever menachai. Okay, how this comes about, not 100% clear. Some people say that halal, it means like emptiness. So empty is, you know, the Eber Menachai is also empty because it's divorced from the body. Maybe that, but again, which Eber Menachai is this? V'yesh lo lahalot arukat. This arukat. This is something that can regenerate itself. If it were back and attached to the body, it has enough part of it that it could regenerate. Cherev, hareze kechalal. Okay, what's cherev? Cherev, this is a really interesting halacha. A sword, okay, or in essence, any metal item that touches a dead body becomes, this is really interesting, becomes tameh. Usually we learn tuma, okay, if you remember tuma and tahara laws, there's avia vota tuma is the dead body. He's mitame adam and kelim, which is the av. Then you become their mitame or rishon, and the rishon is mitame asheni, right? And they can only be mitame food and drink, not people and kelim, right? There's a whole hierarchy. So everything drops a level. You touch something, it drops a level, except for in a few unique cases. So one of the unique cases is this case. The cherev that touches the dead body, okay, and from there, any metal item that touches the dead body is exactly like the dead body. So if a person touches that, it's metame a person, okay? Normally, right, you would say the kli is only metame food and drink. In this case, it's actually metame people. It's a unique halacha. And here they say we learned it out from the word cherev. Obimet, ze ever haneklal menamet. Okay, this is ever menamet, basically. Obe etzem adam, ze rova atzamot. Okay, that teaches you the din of rova atzamot. Obe kever, ze kever satum. Okay, what's kever satum? That's a closed kever. What's the matter?
Ze kever satum,
de amar mar, tuma bokat vola, bokat viyoredet. Okay, if you look, by the way, the Shansin has a nice picture and the notes, at least in mine it has it. There's two types of graves that are covered, okay, and there's two different halachot about them. Okay, there's a grave here with a cover on it, okay? Now, if there's a space of a, it's called a halal tefach. There's a space of a tefach surrounding the body between him and the box or whatever kind of thing. Let's just assume it's a coffin. Then you can assume that the coffin was kind of created to keep the tuma in, basically, right? Because there's some space, and that space gives you the opportunity to view this as if, right, that's an ohel, and therefore if you walk over that grave, you're not metame, because the coffin stops the tuma. But if there's no halal tefach, and that's the case we're talking about, then it's all viewed like as one, and the cover isn't ma'ahil on the mate, and therefore the tumah goes up and the tumah goes down. So if you're under the ground below it, you're matame. And if you're above the ground, right, because what did we say? As long as there's no ohel, tumah goes up to the shamayim. Okay, so basically, that's what they're talking about. That's what this kever satum is. Okay, and it's called a, what's it called? Ritsutza, right? Tuma ritsutza. Okay, and that's where it says it bokad vole. It you know bokad it like bursts, right? It bursts out of this box. Okay, so again, it depends on whether there's a halal tefach or not. Okay, so it doesn't say here in the text, but that's the halacha. Okay, so you can even read in Rashi. Damar marchuma bokat va'ola, the first Rashi on the page. V'nasa kever ki gufo shel meit atzmo. Understand? The kever becomes as if it's the body because they're so close without a space between them. So it's as if it's one thing, and therefore it takes the din of the body rather than the box, and therefore the tumah goes up or down.
Except that here it shows that
the tumah... So it's going up in both cases.
Yeah, that the...
Shouldn't it stop here like that?
The drawing is not what you're saying.
Oh,
no,
you're
it
saying...
No, it says shaded area shows extent of tumah.
Oh,
means
that's interesting.
The
so
tumah
what?
Is even
right,
more extensive
it's
when there's more than a tefach.
Oh, really? So then I misunderstood.
Because the whole kever...
Well, come she'en bo chalal shel tefach atamakum
menekum. The question is how far, how wide it is, not how high it goes.
Oh, I see. Oh, I misunderstood. Okay, you're right. Okay, so I misunderstood. If it's, sorry.
So you can never
thank
stand
you for correcting
me.
Okay, if it's, right, you're right. If it's not a halal tefach, then the body is judged independently of the box, and just, in other words, they're not considered one unit. And the tumah goes up just from the body, but not from the box. In other words,
the
size where the maid doesn't exist, right, where the maid isn't there, are not tummy if you walk above them. But when there's a halal tefach, thank you for correcting me. When there's a halal tefach, then the whole box, it's like there's an ohel within an ohel, right? In other words, there's this inner, the whole inner area becomes like an ohel, but the tumah also goes up. So why would it go up if there's really a... Oh, an ohel on it. That's what I don't follow then.
Yeah, this doesn't say
there's enough.
Because in any other case of an ohel, it stops at the inside of the
inside the ohel.
Right. You would think that it would stop within the ohel.
Right.
I don't know why that is. I have to look this up better. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll try to look it up for tomorrow. Okay. Okay. So now that was all about tumah, and now they're going to say v'ilu gabe negiyah, and this is our issue when it comes to maga. Okay, which is going to relate to what we're talking about. Amar Rav Yehuda, who's an Emora, said Tanya. It says in a Braita, and he quotes now two psukim later. The pasuk is v'lakach. Ezov v'taval b'mayim. This is the whole process of the paraduma. V'taval b'mayim ish tahor v'hiza al ha'oel v'al kol ha'kelim v'al ha'nefashot asher yusham. Okay, he puts it on the oel and the kelim and all the nefashot that were there. V'al ha'nogea be'etzem o b'chalal o b'meit o b'kavir. You see, again, a repetition of all these phrases. So what are they going to darshan here? So first of all, it says, notice it says, al ha'nogea be'etzem. Okay, even though it also said Nugea and the other pasuk, but here they're going to darshan it. They're talking here about nigia, maga, obachalal. So be'etzem ze etzem kiseora, okay, which we know is matame maga umasa. This is where they learn it from. Obachalal, remember last time they learned etzem, they said, oh, it's rova atzama, right, which is matame maga umasa eno, not for the nazir, but in general. Obachalal ze ever hanachalal menachai, ve'en bo la'alot arucha. Right, this is a case of an Ever Nechlam and Achai, and it doesn't have enough to regenerate. It's Metame, also Maga. Okay, even though it can't regenerate, it is Metame Maga. Obed Meit, Ze Ever Hanechlam and Ameit. Okay, here you have Ever Shenechlam and Ameit, right? The assumption is it doesn't have Basar on it. Okay, and what do you see? It's Metame Maga. Okay, Obed Kever, Amarish Lakish, Ze Kever Shalifnei HaDibur. Okay, so what does it mean, Ze Kever Shalifnei HaDibur? It's very interesting. There's an assumption that Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah didn't have Tumat Meit the way we do now. In other words, if you walk over a body that's from before Matan Torah, you wouldn't become Tame from it. Okay? That's what they're telling you. But what they're telling you here is it is Matame Maga Masa.
Is that why Yosef's bones were allowed to be in the Kodesh HaKodeshim or in wherever they were in Olam
Haba? Ah, that's an interesting... Could be. Definitely could be. Right. What did we see about it last time? What was it brought up in the context of that you see that
when they're in the mishkan?
Right. We just had it when we were talking about the Nimra. You know, the Shar Nimrod and Shar Nicanor and the. Yeah, we had it about the bones, about where they could be. There was a certain area where they could be. There was a certain area where they couldn't be. They could be in the Machane Leviah, right? I forget the details. Anyway, so then there's a whole machloket about if they're Metame Magal Masa, and they're not Metame, but what did we say about non-Jews? Or non-Jews are basically equal to Jews, Lifnei Adibur, and therefore they are Metame Magal Masa. Or do we say, no, they're not, because Jews Lifnei Adibur are different from non-Jews Bichlal. There's a whole machloket about it. Two sides to the equation. Okay. So now, why did we bring this in? So, hi, Eber Min Ameit, when they talk about Eber Min Ameit here, Hechidane. Right? Remember, we're assuming it's Eber Min Ameit that doesn't have basar. And what do we see? It's Metame Maga. Right? So now they say, so Hechidane. Idi Be'etzim Kisora, Hainu Hanugea Be'etzim. Right? Again, if it has Etzim Kisora, then it's the same as Nogea Be'etzim. It already said that, right? The Etzim Kesora is learned out. So therefore, Ela Delei Be'etzim Kesora Vapilohachi Rachmana Rabye. So what do we see here? This is Rish Lakish's proof, right? This is the Gemara's proof for Rish Lakish, that when we talk about Eber Min Ameit, that's Metame, without meat, without flesh on it, it must be talking about that it's less than Etzim Kesora, and yet it's still included. Okay, so even though it's less than Etzim Kesora, like let's say it's ground up or something, then we're still going to be Metame, the Eber Min Ameit. Okay, you might have thought like Eber Min Ameit needs a certain amount of chashivut. Right? It has to be intact. So here we're learning it doesn't, okay, according to Rish Lakish.
It could be almost nothing, in fact.
Right. I mean, it could be teeny, teeny weeny piece, okay, or crushed up. Amar lecha Rabbi Yochanan le'olam di'ipe. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no. It clearly has to have etzem kesora, vim einu inyan lamaga'o, tineu inyan lamasa'o. They say, but there's no reason to teach anything because we already learned it from the earlier pasuk. So if there's no chidush about adding it here, what are they saying? Ah, the first one must have been talking about maga, and the second one is talking about masa. And it's trying to teach you that it's also matame maga o masa. Okay. So two different approaches, you know, both two. Right. Is it Metame and Nazir or not? And then, you know, whether you would say this, what we're talking about is whether it has Etzem Kesora or it doesn't have Etzem Kesora. Okay. Umazeh b'shlishu b'shvi'i v'soter. Now we're getting to the very end of that long Mishnah that we're finally getting through. You're mazeh b'shlishu b'shvi'i. So in all these cases, the Nazir is Megalech. What happens? He becomes Tamei. He has to then do the sprinkling on the third and the seventh day. Right, and let's go back to the Mishnah just for 1 second. And the words are Megalech Omazeh B'Shlishi B'Shvi'i Amem Tera Muvet V'Soter Et HaKodmim. It cancels out all the earlier days. Ve'eino Matchil Limnot Ad She'itara Mevi Et Korbanotav. Right, he doesn't start counting his new days until he becomes Tahor. And then we have this whole thing about, is it Tahor and brings his Korbanot, or is it just Tahor and then also he brings his Korbanot, which would affect which day he starts the count. On day number 7, right after Harav Shemesh, or does he have to wait till after he finishes bringing his korbanot? Ibai Elohim. Hai dekatane ad shiitaher, bashvi'i kai, ad avid Harav Shemesh. Is it that it's on the 7th? Umane Rabbi Eliezer hi. Odilma bashmini kai, umai ad shiitar ad shevi korbanotav. Okay, is it the 7th or is it the 8th? That matches that machloka between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim. Umane Rabbananhi. So they say it must be Chachamim, that it's until he brings his korbanot, and it's the 8th. Tashma mi dekatane seifa. How do we know? Because what does it say in the next Mishnah? They keep referring to seifa here, not as the end of our Mishnah, but the next Mishnah, because they view these as one whole section. In the cases where it says Eina Nazir Megalech Alehem, so what does it say? Do you remember? He's mazeh umegalech bashvi'i. Okay, I can't remember if we actually read this inside, but I think we did. Right, Eino Soter Et HaKodmim. Okay, if you look at the very top of Nun Dalet Amud Bet, it doesn't cancel out the earlier days. Umatchil umoneh miyad bekorban ein lo. Okay, so if here it says matchil umoneh miyad, and in the other case it says, right, you know, it seems to imply you don't do it miyad. So what's going to be the assumption? When is the miyad in that case? Obviously, you have to wait till you're tahor, after your 7 days. So there it must be after the 7 days. And in our Mishnah, it must mean on the 8th day. Okay, and that's why, umane rabbanan hi. Okay, and that's why it must be rabbanan who hold that you have to wait till the 8th. Ha resha mai ad shiitar. So they're saying, if that's the case, so what does it mean? You have to wait ad shiitar. It must mean ad shiavi korbanotav. Umane rabbanan hi da'amre nizirut tatara ad shmini lo chalya. Okay, it does, it's nachal until the 8th day. Okay, whereas nizirut, according to Rabbi Lezer, would be chal already on the 7th. You can already start counting. Okay, new Mishnah. Aval haschachot v'hapraot u'beit hapras v'eretz ha'amim v'agolel v'hadofek u'viyidam v'ohel v'rov ha'atzamot v'kelim hanugim b'meit u'bimei sifro u'bimei gamro al elu ein ha'nezir megalech. Okay, on all these things nezir is not megalech. Okay, we'll go through what all of them are and then we'll get to the end part, what else you do with them, which we already just saw. Okay, schachot. Schachot we're going to see, and as maybe we'll just wait a minute until we get to the Mishnah about the schachot and the praot. Okay, we'll see what they are, but one's going to be a tree that goes out that's somewhat ma'ahil, but we'll talk about why it's not. That's the schachot, like a schach. Okay, and the praot are going to be those, the avanim that come out of the fence that we saw. Like you have a wall or a fence, and there's a stone that's sticking out, okay, jutting out, and we'll talk about what the issue is, okay, when we get to there in a minute. Beit HaPras is a field that had dead bodies there, okay, it was a cemetery, let's say, or just people were buried there, and then they plowed the field. Now, at this point, you don't know, right, when you plow a field with bones, chances are the bones get crushed up. But you don't know, there could still be a piece of bone that's etzen kaseora, and therefore it's midrabanan, you can't go into a beit hapras, it's mitame. Eretz ha'amim, okay, obviously these are going to be, or at least most of them, are going to be cases where, what's the issue? Why isn't the nezir megaleach alehen? Because we keep saying these are all suffix cases.
You can't bring a korban,
right? In a suffix case, you can't bring a korban misuffix. So all these are going to be suffix cases. We'll see the first two in a minute why they're suffix. Eretz ha'amim, that's all non-Jewish lands. Okay, they were metame. They said they made a gzerah. They're all eretz ha'amim are tame. We're going to get to that also soon. Okay, hagolel. Hagolel is, it's a cover of the coffin. Okay, the cover of the coffin, or it could be, if you've been in Beit Sharim, you know, they have these caves where they would bury people in those days. So it could be the cover that closed the whole grave, right? There was a, you walk in, there would be graves, so there was a cover. They would put, it could be the golel. It's like with a Yaakov, when he picks up the Evan, you know, the cover of the Be'er. Like they had these
big stones
that would function as covers. So that could be what they're talking about, or a cover over the grave itself. So if you were to touch the cover, so again, you would become tameh, but you wouldn't, the nezir wouldn't be megalech on it. Hadofek, okay, this is the dfanot of the aron on the side. Let's say you touch the coffin from the side, okay, not from on top where it would be ma'ahil, but on the side. Uruvi'idam. Okay, what if you touch Ravi Dam from the body, right, as opposed to the Chatzi Log Dam? V'ohel. Okay, so one reading of this is, what if you touch the ohel where the mate is there? Let's say there's a tent, and you touch the sides of the tent, right? You're not inside, but you touch the outside of the tent. V'rova Atzamot. Okay, here we have our Rova Atzamot. Some people say that the way Rabbi Yochanan gets the diuk in the Mishnah is that ve'oel, it's a bit of a different word. I want to see if they have it here. No, I don't see it here. But that it, you read the ohel goes with the rovat samot. And what it really means is, right, mahil al rovat samot. It's the din of ohel by rovat samot, which teaches us what we saw in our thing, which is that rovat samot is metame mago masa, just not ohel, and that's what it's talking about here. And the word ohel isn't a separate category. It goes together with the rovat samot. Bekelim hanogim b'meit. Okay, this is obviously not metal kelim, which we learned in the first Mishnah, right? Well, not in the first Mishnah, we just learned in the Braita, but other types of kelim that touch the mate. Ubime sifro bime gumro. Okay, these are when the someone's a mitzora, so there's different days for the mitzora, right? There's days where he's muzgar, remember that, where he's the kohen, he's in waiting, right? We don't know yet. The kohen comes to visit. Remember, someone has a nega, so the kohen checks him. Is it mitzora, right? This could be on his body or his house. But here we're talking about the mitzora's body. So let's say you're a nazir and you become mitzora. So if you're in the days where we're waiting to see, and the kohen hasn't decided you have tzarad or not, so that's what we're talking. So that for sure isn't anything. But here we're talking about when you already started counting your days, okay? Or be may gamro when he's a mitzora gamur, okay? Mukhlat, right? So there's the days where, right? So where he's definitely tameh, or even when he's counting his 7 days before he does the shavings, right? There's 2 shavings he has to do. So when he's counting the days for his shavings, then, you know, all those days, so again, ein hanazir megalech on these days. Okay, but you are mazeh b'shlishi b'shvi'i. In other words, all these things, you still need some sort of tahara process, although we'll see that the mazeh b'shlishi b'shvi'i can't possibly be referring to everything here. See why soon.
Why would you think the nazir would be megalech for mitzvah?
Ah, so we saw a whole discussion about it earlier, right? Remember we were comparing, does the mitzvah days cancel it or not? Because the assumption was this was a high-level tumah. So since he's mitame, first of all, mitzvah chashuv kemet. We've seen a few sources about that, that they considered a mitzvah like a maid. So there was a havamina that maybe, if a mitzvah is like a maid, and he can't be mitame maid, so he can't be mitame tumah mitzvah. And it was also a thing where you waited 7 days and you shaved. So it's very similar to Tumat Meit. And it's very taken very seriously. You also have to bring korbanot. So they thought that maybe there was this issue that if you're mitzora, maybe it cancels the days. We had a whole discussion earlier. Does it cancel the days? Is it not? Right? In the end, we say it doesn't. And this Mishnah also goes that way. You're not. He's not megalech. Okay? But obviously, he has to stop his counting. And he has to be mazeh b'shlishi u'bashvi'i. Right, but it doesn't cancel the previous days. And then he restarts his count as soon as he's done with those 7 days. Okay, what are you confused about?
I guess just the wording here, or during the days of the Masora, meaning what happens on those?
So
days?
What happens?
He's not megalech on those days.
So okay, so first of all, he has to do the giloch of the Masora.
Okay.
So then we saw that if it comes out right before he would end
within
his days, let's say
days
he has right. So well, there was a machloket. Does he have to wait an extra 30 days now to have his hair grow 30 days long, or does he only have to wait 7 days to have his hair grow? Or have 7 day hair growth. But that's the thing. In other words, these are in a more chamor category than other things, which he doesn't even have to stop counting. Okay? So here he stops his count, but it doesn't cancel the days. So this is like a next level over from the previous mission. V'korban ein lo. He doesn't have to bring, obviously, if he's a mitzvah, he has to bring the korban mitzvah. But here he doesn't have to bring the korban that a nazir brings when he becomes tamei met. Okay? Be'emet amru, yimei hazav v'hazava, v'yimei hezgerosho mitzvah, Hare elu olin lo. And here's the third category, okay? That if you're a zav and you're a zava, where also you need like a 7 day period, okay? Or the 7 days of the mitzvah that he has to wait till the kohen decides what his situation is, those days all count in his count, okay? In other words, those days can be regular days of nizirut. He doesn't need to stop counting. He continues his count of nizirut. And for sure, all the other stuff doesn't apply that didn't apply in the previous section. You're hot. You can put an arrow.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Okay. Elohein haschachot. Okay. What are the schachot? Ilan hamesach al haaretz. Okay. This comes up in sukkah, right? If you have a tree going on top of your schach, right? That basically your schach is no good. So here, most of them are fresh, and there's a bit of a disagreement about exactly what this means. Some say that they're very thin, they're not even the size of a tefach. Some people say, no, the branches are the size of a tefach. Now, what's the significance of a tefach? There's no such din of oel if it's not a tefach wide. So they are a tefach wide, but they're spaced out. And what happens? It seems that both of these could be. There's a sefek here. The sefek is we don't know under which branch was the body, or we don't know under which branch did the nazir pass. Because maybe we know which branch the body was, but we don't know did the nazir pass under that branch or under a different branch. So that's the sefik here. And the same thing's going to be the sefik with the praot. Hayotzot mina gadir, right? They're avanim that come out of the gadir. The note on the side, the Hagahot HaBach says, is missing the word avanim. Avanim hayotzot mina gadir, these rocks that jut out, right, at a certain height. And again, either the tumah is underneath one of them and we don't know which one, or the nazir passes under one of them and we don't know if he passed under the one where the tumah was. Okay, ve'eretz ha'amim. Eretz ha'amim, ibayelahu. Eretz ha'amim mishum avira gazru aleha, o dilma mishum gusha gazru aleha. Okay, now here there was a gzera they made on the eretz ha'amim. Now what they want to know is, do they make this gzera because they're worried that maybe there's kvarim of Jews somewhere in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore anywhere could possibly be a grave site, and therefore anywhere could possibly be mitame. So therefore, if you go in, you know, you have to worry about any, right, any gush. But what's the issue? If you came in a coffin, you know, carried in a way that tumah, right, you're blocking the tumah from getting to you, then you'd be okay. Because it's only the gush that they're worried about. We're worried about the ground. Okay. Or mishum avira gazru aleha. Or did they just not want people going into Chutz La'aretz at all? They didn't like the idea of people going to Chutz La'aretz. So they just said, you're mitame if you go into there.
From Babel Chutz La'aretz?
Right. So then it becomes questionable how you exactly view that in the context of...
the fact that they weren't there to be.
Right. That's a good question. So Tashma, let's learn it from here. Umazeh v'shlishiyu v'shvi'i. Iyamart mishum avira hazal amali. If you say it's just mishum avira and it was just a gzera, it didn't really have to do with tuma. It was just to get people out of there, right? So then why do you have to be mazeh b'shlishiyu b'shvi'i? You don't need the haza'a, right? It's just a gzera. It doesn't have to do with tuma. Elala mishum gusha. So it must be because of the ground. So then they say, la'olam e'am alecha mishum avira. You could still say it's mishum avira. And why does it say umazeh b'shlishiyu b'shvi'i on this whole list? Kikatane ashara. When it said mazeh b'shlishiyu b'shvi'i, it was referring to all the other cases. If Rav Atzamot and the other things, it wasn't referring to that one. And now they're going to further prove it. They're going to say hachinami mistabra, because we can show you that there's another thing on that list that clearly mazeh b'shlishiyu b'shvi'i didn't apply to. And which would that be? Mitekatane v'kelim hanogim v'meit. Right? One of the things on that list is kelim that touch the dead body, which obviously also you don't have to sprinkle on the third and the seventh day. Hane kelim benazah ainun. Right, nobody sprinkles on the kelim. Elashmamina ashara. So you see that this mazeh b'shlishiyu b'shvi'i isn't necessarily on every single thing listed. It's on the general. It happens to not apply to a few of the things, and it wouldn't apply to eretz ha'amim if you say the eretz ha'amim is mitame mishum avira and not mishum gusha. This has a whole lot of ramifications. This whole machloket is, I mean, we're going to get into it tomorrow also. Maybe we'll talk about more about kohanim and going into Chutz La'aretz and, you know, different things about Kohanim and possible tumah situations. So we'll see more about this tomorrow.
So today, practice.